God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, on one level, I'm talking about something I have absolutely no experience with. Getting pregnant was remarkably easy for me. I'm kind of glad Luke stepped out because I think I would only embarrass him at the beginning of this sermon. Luke and I had just started trying, and within a few weeks, I couldn't stand the smell of cat food. And previously, a night owl, I was asleep by 8 p.m. every night. And I told Luke, I think I'm pregnant. He said, no. There's no way. That's way too fast. It can't be that easy. Well, when I showed him the positive pregnancy test, he changed his tune pretty fast. Yeah, I guess that makes sense, he says. I'm pretty powerful. Direct quote. So like I said, in one way, I have no idea what it's like to struggle to have a child. On the other hand, struggling to conceive is fundamental to my story. One of the first things I remember knowing about myself is that I have a big brother or big sister in heaven. I didn't realize it when I was a kid, but I think a lot of us do. My parents really, really wanted me, but it took them 7 years, a miscarriage, and a couple of surgeries to have me. And then there are people who never can overcome the struggle. People like Ward and Vicki Jameson, who taught music at my college. They couldn't have children of their own, so they just adopted all of us choir weirdos. That's what they always told us. We can't have our own kids, but that's okay because that means we have lots of time and space for you. And I guess I should say this now, that I'm sorry, sincerely sorry, if this is a topic that's really difficult for you to handle. I don't mean to upset anyone, and I genuinely hope I'm handling it with all the sensitivity that it deserves. And if I'm not, or even if I am, but you need to go catch your breath or whatever, take care of yourself. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you need to get out of here. I understand. But I think this is something that, well, we don't really talk about it in church, do we? Which is crazy because it's all over the Bible. The readings we read today were just a few examples of stories of women and men who had a very hard time having children. Of the 93 women that are mentioned in the Bible, yes, there are only 93 of us, which doesn't seem fair when you consider A, the Bible is super long, and B, there are about 2,000 men mentioned. Of those 2,000, that's not like me hyperbolizing, that's the actual number. Of those 93 women, 8 of them are at one point deemed barren, deemed unable to have a child. That's about 9%. But that's actually a low amount when you consider the fact that 10 to 20% of people today struggle with infertility. All the more reason we should talk about this, and we should offer space to deal with this, and not just in the sense that we read these Bible stories, some of which we read this morning, and we fast forward to the good part. We read them only to get to the miracle. We don't dwell on the struggle very long. It's not just that we advise people who are struggling and hurting right now to keep praying and keep hoping without validating and making space for the grief and the anger that they're probably feeling that are accompanying the praying and the hoping. Not every barren woman in the Bible gets a miracle. Some remain childless until the day they die. And even the ones that do eventually have a child still suffered before they did. They were still looked down on, they were left out, they were ridiculed. It was still assumed that they'd done or were doing something wrong. Often their husbands would try to have children with other, younger, healthier women. And I know it was a different world, but I can't imagine knowing that your husband was stepping out on you because you couldn't give him something society had taught him to expect from you. I can't imagine that felt awesome. Even if it was socially accepted. And I'm not sure the world is all that much better about that sort of thing now. Oh, can't get pregnant? Maybe it's because you're too fat? too skinny. You're too old. You don't eat enough organic food. There's too many pollutants in the air and water where you live. You're less of a woman. You're less of a man. You're a failure. And all of your options for help are very expensive. So if you're too poor, well, no family for you. I wanted to begin our Advent journey here because Advent is all about the dark before the dawn. It's all about our hopes being realized in the exact moment when they seem the furthest away from us. Birth is our destination. New life is our destination, and we will get there eventually. Christmas is coming, but we can't forget how messy and painful the getting there can be. We don't have to pretend like life isn't hard just because Christmas is a few weeks away. In fact, Advent offers us the time and space to get really real about just how hard life is, just how much we need new life to be born in us once again. And then there are all the things we struggle with that don't have anything to do with fertility, struggling to find the new life on the other side of addiction, new life after disease, new life on the other side of depressive episodes and disappointments and the deaths of loved ones. If you're struggling or were struggling or you know somebody who's struggling, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you or them. Whether your struggle is resolved the way you want it to be or not, everybody who struggles is in great company, is in holy company. And whether or not you can see it right now, you're still on an Advent journey. Your road is still one that leads to the birth of something beautiful.